You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And then it's every time I want to, there's like work anywhere because I only have my laptop. It's like a,
setting up every time. Yeah, that sucks.
I've almost considered buying a desktop or something, but I should actually. I really should now that I think about it.
The prices have come down so far, man. If you want to discuss some parts list, and I can send you some real good, reliable how-to videos if you've never built a PC before. But you can build yourself a pretty damn good, powerful machine to do a little work, a little play, easily for $500, $600. If you can push $1,000, you can build something phenomenal. Right now, thanks to the silicon shortage and stuff sorting itself out for the most part, and the crash of crypto mining and NFTs. So yeah,
that didn't work out. What?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Centralizing a bunch of supposedly decentralized things that rely on government-owned and operated, relatively government-owned and operated, or privately owned but government-regulated internet and power. You got to have internet to do trade regardless of your cold wallet. You got to have power to mine, to trade. Like, yeah. And it never – I'm not saying that it can't be done well. I'm just saying on the scale that it became, no. Anyways.
I thought FDs were stupid from the beginning, so.
Yeah. I'm sorry for people that lost a lot of money in that.
I'm not, because you should have known better.
I'm not sorry for starting the intro, though. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel. Please do hit that red subscribe button if you haven't already. And if you have, thank you so much. Really do appreciate it. Follow us on your favorite podcast app, Google, Spotify, Amazon. Now we are officially on Amazon. Super exciting. I'm Kyle, that's Manny, and we're here to talk about stuff, man. Whatever the hell we want. And I actually have to go to Marvel. There was a Reddit post, if I'm not mistaken, a bit ago, and I think it connected to the Cosmic Circus. There it is. I actually see it. I got it on my screen about some changes coming to Marvel's future slate after leadership changes in the Disney company itself. You know, Bob Iger coming back, Chapek leaving. So this can be taken with a grain of salt. Cam Clark writes on the site for us, also does the Cantina, our Star Wars show with me and Shockey. He's got a pretty good BS detector. He actually sat on a rumor that he'd seen about the title for Indiana Jones, and it turned out being real. He just did not feel confident in the he felt confident in some of it, but not enough. But he's got a good BS detector, so him sharing this means that there's at least something about this source or this story that's caught his caught his attention. So here's what Cosmic Circus had to say. We have received word from our sources that Marvel Studios is currently reevaluating its release lineup for phases 5 and 6. As phase 4 comes to a close, we've been informed of internal negative feedback about how phase 4 was handled regarding product distribution and quality, i.e. stuff going to Disney Plus, the quality of those projects, the quality of the films, CGI, things like that is what I'm reading in there. This has led to fear that phases 5 and 6 are headed in the same direction as 4, therefore as a preventative measure to ensure quality control, Marvel and Disney are now reevaluating future releases. Moving forward, they are interested in pushing a quality over quantity approach to these phases as a way to address the issues some audiences have had with phase 4. From what we are being told, projects already in post-production are still set for release at this time, and the main focus of the reevaluation will be in projects still in the pre-production stage. We've also been told by sources to expect shifts in release schedules for some projects, changes in media formats for others, and in the most extreme and unlikely of cases, a postponement or outright cancellation of a project that would not be suited towards the overall story of the multiverse saga. There's a few key things in there, especially in that last one. One I mentioned in that first paragraph, product distribution and quality. Distribution was a reason why Star Wars is having a shift. There's been reported a big shift away from focusing solely on Disney Plus and wanting to get Star Wars back in theaters. And in, we kind of seen some of this happen in Marvel already with that, with like Armor Wars going from series to movie. I don't know, man. What do you think? This kind of tracks, doesn't it? There's enough dots here to see it being true. We're not saying that it is, but could be, right?
So it's like another one of those I told you so moments from us, I guess. I mean, we've been talking about what kind of lackluster impact phase 4 has had. Has it had his bright spots? Yeah, but even a clock is right, a broken clock is right twice a day. So it wasn't leading anywhere. There was no some individual projects were okay or good. But then there's a bigger slate of other ones that were just like, what?
It was the exact opposite of the Infinity Saga, where it was mostly great and a few duds.
So I'll bring this up later. I was going to tell you what my pitch of what it should have been. Which I was talking to a buddy of mine over the weekend in LA, and he almost drove me to Marvel Studios to see if we could backtrack and get it done. but in all seriousness, I don't know what happened. Like, it's the same people running the show. Like,
too much. They wanted to expand.
I think they got way too aggressive or ambitious,
trying to fill those Disney Plus spots.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down with. And then all of a sudden it just became about, because if you looked at some of those slates that they release, especially like at Comic-Con, you're like, holy shit, that's a lot of projects. It's a lot of stuff. Okay, and like, how does it all connect? It's like, well, we'll figure it out along the line.
that's a future Kevin problem. And the fact that they mentioned that they're, you know, this is not just external reactions, it's internal reactions as well. Quality over quantity is in the second paragraph is another thing that came out, and you kind of already mentioned it, the huge slate they would announce at, you know, Comic-Con 2019 and beyond. Most of us were super excited because we couldn't fathom Marvel making multiple duds, especially multiple bad projects in a single phase. So we were all stoked about the big slate, you know, 3 or 4 shows a year, 3 or 4 movies a year. Yes, mainline it. Come on. No, it turned out to be bad. We were one of those that were excited for the big slate at first. But again, that as project after project came out with diminished quality, we were like, okay, yeah, you guys can't do that. You can't have that big of a slate. Oh, go ahead.
No, yeah, I think it's just not just quality, but also importance. Like, why is this relevant? We even saw it in Guardians and kind of some brief interactions between their villain and also Thanos and some at least some light connectivity there.
Mm-hmm.
You saw like Avengers who was dealing with things like that, and even with Ultron, it was dealing with some of the stones,
yeah,
and et cetera, et cetera. And so one way or another, everything that all storylines in some way or another were intertangled and meant something, obviously. Not like later where they may explain something and go, well, this is why that story in Moon Knight matters, or
yeah,
or this is or the connectivity between Shang-Chi and Miss Marvel and how they get their powers, or and it's like come on, man. Like, again, I'm going to go back to this and say it'd be the same thing as Zack Snyder going, yeah, the whales were sent by Aquaman.
Yeah,
like,
the whales were sent by Aquaman.
Like, really? Like, okay, come on.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So just overall, I just think that, there's no, at this point, for example, Black Panther Wakanda Forever was a great movie. So what?
It was good. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Like, as far as a bigger piece to getting me to, Kang Dynasty, to this point, I don't care about him as far as what he means to the multiverse, and I don't see the threat.
Yeah, as of right now.
If I'm just looking at it from
the potential, but
yeah, if I'm just looking at it from like a casual audience member point of view,
that's true. You don't really see a threat.
Don't see a threat at all. As a matter of fact, if I'm not watching Disney Plus, I have no idea what even a direction is.
Yeah, and I can already hear people yelling, oh, well, you didn't get much Thanos until Guardians, and then you really don't get his motivation until Infinity War. But it wasn't just Thanos. It was the Infinity Stones. It was the potential of those stones and what they had, regardless of who had them. We just knew that there was someone that a few people said really shouldn't have them. That's why it's the Infinity Saga, not the Thanos Saga. This is a multiverse saga, and so far the multiversal effects have been absolutely minimal. We get the, hey, we're gonna break the sacred timeline and have the multiple, you know, timeline things going on in Loki. No effect going forward so far. And then we have the No Way Home situation. No effect afterwards. Nothing really seems to stick around, and we know there's a bit of scheduling for release shift between No Way Home and Doc Strange 2 and all of that. But getting through multiverse of madness, we still have nothing. The movie ends with the biggest consequence being Wanda sidelined for X amount of movies and then or projects, and then America sticks around, which I'm happy. She was fine. She was underused in that movie. She had a lot more potential, and I hope they do a do the character well going forward. Neither one of us were fans of her in the comic. I didn't read very much with her, and you've said before you were kind of frustrated that she was a checkbox character for the books, but movie, good. But where's the multiverse? And that kind of goes into that last line in the third paragraph. Postponement or cancellation of a project that would not be suited towards the overall story of the multiverse saga. Like, this is supposed to set up and explain, and I don't necessarily think we'll get a big reset to a single universe. I don't know if they're gonna do and was it Ultimatum? What was it when the because they call it Secret Wars, and I that's what I think the movie Secret Wars will be, a combination of the 2015-2016 Secret Wars and the original 1980, what was that, four? I think it was 84 run. I think they're going to kind of amalgamate the two stories, because just some big cosmic being say fight, you know, isn't going to work. And the 2015-2016 thing about two fully realized universes smushing together, we don't have two fully realized universes to smush together. We don't
even have enough characters to do it.
No, we don't. So, but I do think they're going to amalgamate. I think that's how we're going to get maybe some of the X-Men that we know and love. I'm not talking about actors. I'm talking about characters coming over, as they will be from an established thing. So, but I don't know, man.
I
want to love this. Damn it, I want to.
No, well, what you want to love is the brand and the story itself, the name, the Secret Wars, the Kang's dynasty. That's what you want to love. But unfortunately, that's not what we're gonna get. Is we're gonna get another civil war, where
they did that in the comics too.
Where it's by name only, and it does not have the same feel of players or the same consequences as the books, which then diminishes kind of the return of what the significance of the story is, which is why I had a problem with Civil War. I didn't have a problem with the movie. The movie was fine. I had a problem with the name of the movie. It was more just a Captain America versus Iron Man and friends. It wasn't this earth-shattering decision where Peter Parker took off his mask in the name of the Accords. It wasn't a thing that split up the Guardians, the X-Men, the Fantastic Four in the name of what each of them individually believed.
Yeah.
And thus, for me, that movie was never Civil War. And I think we're getting to Secret Wars, where you don't have enough teams to call it Secret Wars. You need the X-Men. You need the Fantastic Four. And I get it. We are supposed to get the Fantastic Four ahead of time.
Yes.
But at that point, how much are you
going to
be invested in?
Yeah.
Like, how much do you even care about them? So, to this point now, I'm pretty confident there's not gonna be no Doctor Doom in Secret Wars. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I wouldn't take that bet right now.
You still think there will be?
Yeah. And sorry, guys, I kind of got confused on my Windows. I had the browser up, prepping the next story for you guys while we were still talking. Anyway,
I don't.
I think we're gonna end up. So there was some rumor stuff, and I'm not going to look it up right now because I don't have the brain power to divide it. But there was a rumor that we would be getting a First Family Out of Time, that the Fantastic Four's journey started back in the 60s, which is an idea that I've talked about with you and others. I love that idea. I even love the idea of having Doom part of their initial journey whenever they get, you know, pulled into some alternate universe, wormhole, whatever it is, that time is basically passing different for them and different for us. I even like the idea of Doom having been in there originally, and then he gets kind of kicked out early, you know, finds a way home, an accident, something happens to where he comes back and is already been on this Earth, or, you know, 616 Earth for a bit, running Latveria. You know, I see them having the potential to still set some of that up. But that's why I think, but I am with you. If you don't have Doom, and Magneto for the Secret Wars movie, you're messing up. Two very, very important characters for the original story. But then again, like you said, they might not use much of the original story at all. So, and then, but I do think he'll be there.
And then the other thing is, Kevin Feige recently said, speaking of mutants, that we've already met a few. There's a new mutant named Namor that you might have met recently. Some more to come. I'm like, if you're just gonna like sprinkle these random MCU characters and now relabel them as mutants,
like Kamala or Kamala.
Yeah, like what? Like it's that's not the mutants people want, guy.
These aren't the mutants you're looking for.
Yeah, these aren't the mutants you're looking for. Absolutely. So I don't know what to. It's funny because everyone wants to poke fun at the way like DC's handling things, Warner Brothers and other universes as well, and Disney's going through the exact same problems. They can just package it a little differently.
Very true.
The only thing that they do is that they do have currently have a boss, which DC is currently working on as well. Probably. And
Gun and Saffron.
And Saffron. So, yeah, it's the same Disney Plus is. I don't know. What do you want to call it? A leech or is a plague on Marvel Studios at the moment?
I kind of agree. I do.
It's also a plague on Star Wars, and or kind of takes away the argument a little bit. But in the bigger scale of things, their ambition for Disney Plus has diluted and watered down our favorite properties.
Yeah, because they needed a bunch of content, and that's what they did. They thought wrong, guys. We've discussed it. What is it? Ad nauseum. Like, don't get me wrong. I like being right, but I hate being right. Because often when I am right, it's about bad stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, can't I be right about the lottery numbers for once?
Yeah, you can't be that lucky.
Oh, man. You want to move on to another story that I saw, and it's going to give me a chance to rant about Sony.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son, co-wrote and directed Ghostbusters Afterlife, was set to do the same for its sequel, tentatively titled Ghostbusters Firehouse is like the code name for it. Well, according to Deadline, he's no longer directing it. In an exclusive from them, sources tell Deadline, Jason Reitman's just going to be in the writer-producer role alongside Gil Kenan. Gil Kenan is taking over as the director. Reitman stated, "A few years ago, my father handed me the keys to Ecto-1, and together we made Ghostbusters Afterlife. Words will never express how grateful I am to have made a film with my father by my side. It's now time to hand those keys to my creative partner and fellow Ghostbusters, Gil Kenan, a brilliant director who will keep the Spangler spirit alive. I can only hope to provide him the same producerial care and support that my father showed me. Reason why I want to mention this and gives me a chance to do a Sony rant is because most people, been listeners to the show for a while, know that I didn't give two dams about Afterlife. I thought it was more X-Files for kids than Stranger Things for kids, because Stranger Things is better than this was, and this wasn't quite as epic. It was severely underutilized. Paul Rudd had nothing about this was Ghostbusters except for the equipment and names. There was none of the tone, none of the flair, none of the style, nothing. There was no team element. There was nothing that made Ghostbusters what it was, other than sights and sounds. And I legitimately mean just the sights, just the optics, not the story itself playing out. They missed a big opportunity for me. Now, I know a lot of people loved it for that. Jammer says it's the best Ghostbusters ever. Janet's stupid. But
I agree with him too.
No, so. You're stupid too. The original film is great for what it for a reason. The sequel, Ghostbusters 2, is generally not considered as good as the original, because they made it more like the Ghostbusters cartoon, the real Ghostbusters, instead of following up. They made it more like for kids, kind of comparing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 to Secret of the Ooze. Same thing. I was young enough to still like Ghostbusters 2, though, so I get people like this. But here's the thing. I think Sony wanted to go further into that. I think Sony is looking at doing, I hate using this as an example, but a CW Ghostbusters. Like, honestly, that's what I feel them going towards, and I feel maybe Reitman isn't necessarily fond of the story going forward. I would hope that he wouldn't want Ghostbusters to you know, be watered down any more than it is, to get away from what made it unique. It's not the act of ghost busting. It's not the fantastical situation or technology. It is the fantastical situation being played so deadpan by people that are just there exist. It was a blue collar comedy. It was a comedy about pest control. It just happened to be this super crazy fantastical pest that they had to deal with. You don't get that in Afterlife at all. You get what we did when we were 9 and 10 years old, which was pretend to be Ghostbusters with the only thing that mattered to 9 and 10 year olds, the proton pack. And I say that having a neutron wand up there. I say that with, no, it's Star Wars. I say that with my Ghostbusters tattoo. I appreciate what the original film was more than just the cool toys. So.
Cool. I mean, you're wrong, but okay.
Well, why am I wrong?
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a generational thing of this is, you need to reestablish Ghostbusters as a franchise for years to come. So you have to do it in a different style that is going to be more attractive to that younger audience who is currently stuck on
comic book movies.
Yeah. And that's just what it is. It's not. Is it something?
And that's why it's not Ghostbusters.
It is Ghostbusters.
No,
it is Ghostbusters. And that is what Ghostbusters is going to be for the foreseeable future.
We just talked about watering stuff down for the lowest common denominator yesterday and how bad that is.
This is where I disagree with you as far as Ghostbusters. Because my kid loved Ghostbusters and will continue to love Ghostbusters because of this movie. And now actually had the chance to go back and enjoy the original movies even more, because she had the foundation of characters and actors and actresses that she knows and trusts via other franchises that
other than Paul Rudd, where else have any of the Stranger Things? I forgot. You said she was a Stranger Things fan.
So Stranger Things
and Finn Wolfhard, honestly, was such a small part of Afterlife.
But it is the foundation. So. It is the Stranger Things is the foundation of where kids are going to go to other things.
And that's not Ghostbusters. I'll say this. My son was into Ghostbusters, you know, years ago before this movie, thanks to the original and thanks to the real Ghostbusters cartoon. You and I fell in love with well, I know I did. I'm not going to speak for you, but I fell in love with Ghostbusters at a very young age. I was in elementary school when I first saw Ghostbusters. And yeah, of course, I fell in love with the proton packs and stuff. But as you grow up, you understand that Ghostbusters is beyond that. What I'm getting at is that it was an all ages movie for the most part. Ghost oral sex dream aside, it's a great all ages thing that appealed to all ages, just like Ninja Turtles did, just like Back to the Future does. And that's got really weird things into it. It's all ages. It appeals. You don't have to. They could have used a lot of these characters if they had made the kids work together more, if it had been more about a team, if there needed to be some elements. This is why you shouldn't have used teenagers, actually. You should have used like college-aged kids. You should have had a couple of the older Ghostbusters on the team bringing up young adults. And you could have had a very well-blended by race, by gender, by whatever for the new team. You could have had five members, you know, four new people and Winston as the CEO and stuff like that. There's a million things that they could have done to maintain some of that, you know, reboot-ishness of it for new generation without completely erasing what made Ghostbusters Ghostbusters. And now it's fine. It's fine. You and I disagree. It's
well, it's not just whatever. You and I. Rotten Tomatoes, the audience score is 94%.
The audience gives stupid scores all sorts of things. We've been over this before.
But you know what? A Ghostbusters Afterlife sequel is gonna make money. And you've already established kind of a new fan base for it.
And I don't think it'll make as much money as they think, but it's going to make some money. It'll make more than the first one because of the pandemic stuff. But yeah,
it's going to make more money.
Ghostbusters, it appeals to the lowest common denominator. It's going to appeal most ways. To,
unfortunately, the masses. That's what it is. It is what it is, man. There's on my daughter's bed. There's a Grogu. There's a Darth Vader. There's the chicken from Moana, and there's a Slimer for a reason.
Yeah, my son's got a lot of similar stuff. I mean,
yeah,
and like I said, this is not me saying that this is a trash movie or a bad movie. My point has been and always will be, it's better put together than 16. It's better put together and more competent than Ghostbusters 2 even. But it's as a movie, but it is not Ghostbusters. And,
the fact that you don't think it's Ghostbusters even from the second movie, like you're being like, it's almost like you're being super picky with the.
Well, no, because then it doesn't even because the second movie still dealt with the team, the team's normal mundane business of ghost busting, still had a comedy focus and was still played off of this serious deadpan. We live in this world, but it's this fantastical. They brought the Statue of Liberty to life. That's stupid, and I don't like that.
That was so much fun,
of course, but I loved it as a kid. But guess what? When I was sitting there super happy over the stupid stuff in Ghostbusters 2 as a kid, people older than me, my older cousins or whatnot, were like, "Oh, this isn't what it started out to be." No, I saw the cartoon in it. And that's been my point the whole time is, we have constantly been waiting for Ghostbusters 2, so to speak, and the video game that came out in 2009 is actually the closest thing to it. And yes, I said Ghostbusters 2 on purpose because actual GB2, not really Ghostbusters. It's almost like the timeline diverges there, and everything after the original is set in the real Ghostbusters universe. I can't explain it any other way. Disney, Sony went in a direction that was safe. It's going to make them some money. I hope it does. I hope people enjoy it. But nobody can look me in the eye and convince me that this is a Ghostbusters movie. It's not. It is for lack of a better word, and this is not really the best show to really compare it to because it's only gets compared to it because of the actor and the fact that he wore a Ghostbusters cartoon costume in the show, but it's Stranger Things with proton packs. That's it. That's it. But Stranger Things is 1,000 times better.
But you say Stranger Things with proton packs, everyone goes thumbs up.
Only because they literally did that in the show, and the show is set where kids are fans. Young kids are fans of what? The original freaking movie. That's the whole point. This idea that kids cannot enjoy things tonally done the way that they were before is ridiculous, and it drags the quality down, man. We just talked about it yesterday. It's that's what bugs me the most about it, is that there was this opportunity, and I almost feel like that Hollywood is sometimes being patronizing to our kids, man, saying you guys aren't smart enough, you're not capable enough, you're not mature enough to get this, to appreciate these things that kids your age just one freaking generation ago did. I hate the patronizing aspect of Hollywood sometimes. It's like Sony explaining all of Spider-Man's technology stuff through computer voices in the Amazing Spider-Man films. Like, they have no confidence in your abilities, but therein lies the problem. If you never challenge people mentally, if you never actually cause them to stretch those neurons in their skull, they lose them. And that kind of dumbed down stuff becomes fine. And I cannot stand that becoming so pervasive in entertainment. See, I told you I'd get started.
Yeah, you could say what you want really about it, but what they've done really, and what Stranger Things did, and that actually speaks to the power of it, is created kind of a generation of actors that these kids are going to follow as they progress with their careers. And so now when you just see them in the films, it almost snaps at, like, oh, that's a Stranger Things guy. Like, I need to watch this. Yeah. I need to check this out.
I'm happy for them. I hope it goes great. And I'm glad for the fans.
And you got to capital. And if you're Sony, you got to capitalize on it. How do I get a younger audience's interest in a franchise like Ghostbusters? You use what you got.
You could have used the MCU model, would have even been better, because they've got multiple teams and team ups in the MCU. You got the comedy mixed with the action and fantastical. I'm telling you, there's a way to do it with the same actors. I just
don't think it has the same impact without it. And I thoroughly enjoyed the way it was done, because I enjoyed watching my daughter.
Yeah,
enjoy the heck out of that movie.
I get that.
And so, if it's up to me, make more of it that way, because that is the right way to go forward.
Then give us, like, IDW's Ghostbusters comics did a really, really good job. Give us Sony's talked multiple times about a Ghostbusters TV show. Give the grown-ups that. Take kind of the IDW approach, where there's just a smidge of more horror, and I don't mean a lot to push it to like R, not even hard PG-13, just make it a solid PG-13 when the horror is there, just that bit more. Give us that, you know, that would be fine. I would appreciate something like that, but I do, man. I would love to see more Ghostbusters.
I believe that no matter what Sony does with Ghostbusters, you're never going to be happy. That is my foundational belief.
I am very, very anti Sony, admittedly, but absolutely not true. I have I have one last thing that I wanted to kind of bring up on this, I guess, Tech Tuesday ish. I've seen a lot of people posting AI art on their Facebook profiles and things like that. Lensa is some app that people are talking about, and this is not legal advice. This is not official advice. This is me thinking logically. Okay, most of these apps, they'll They offer limited amount of stuff for free. You might not own commercial rights to your productions. You might not even own any rights. They might come with watermarks. It might cost you money. There's all these like surface level negatives to using these online sites or apps to do your AI art. One of the biggest ones being not necessarily always having the rights to the images produced, whether that's commercial or not. Yeah. See, I'm going to show you guys something that will allow you to not only produce better AI art locally. You do need to have the hardware for it. There's a hardware limitation. So I understand if if you don't have that aspect of it. However, this not only enables you to create better art, it enables you to own the product afterwards. You can use it for whatever you want, commercial, personal, doesn't matter. It's unlimited. It's installed locally, which means you don't even need an internet connection to use it, and it's free. But here's the biggest part about it, guys. You're not uploading your photos that have metadata and geotags that might have other people in them, identifiable information, places on the outside. You're not uploading these images to God knows who. Someone, some company in China, some company in Canada, even some random American company. We've seen American companies do some really awful things with people's personal data. You will maintain a sense of privacy and security because you can render images all day long without the internet once this is up and running. So I'm not going to go into any type of super fine detail. I will put this link from How To Geek to install and run Stable Diffusion. It took me about 20 minutes to get this done. Download time not included, because there's a few things in here that are a few gigabytes to download. Follow this step by step. It tells you everything you need to know. Once you have it running, you have an AI prompt. You have it. You can run it in your browser. You don't have to keep running all sorts of crazy code things. Here, Manny, I'll share the screen with you real quick so you can see. I typed in just a very basic little fantasy knight, handsome man, blue eyes, looking at viewer. Set a couple of settings real quick and generated that. I can keep that. I can play with this. I can go in. I can say, hey, I want to use this image, but I want to do more to it, and then re-render it. Let me see what happens if I just change that one thing. Re-render the thing. It uses my hardware, my GPU, all of my stuff. There you go. And there's the new one updated from there. It comes with upscaling. You can download additional models that things have been trained on. You want to make some anime characters? You can do that. All of this for free, all easily learned online. Here's a step-by-step. I'll put this How To Geek article for your safety, guys. For your safety, I'm begging you. Be careful of what you upload, what apps you're uploading them to, what permissions you give that app, what rights you might be signing away on that image. You have no idea. You might even be clicking on something that says all images created can be used in that company's commercial products. And now images that you've made of your kids or your spouse, your parents, could all now potentially be in the hands of nefarious actors, or just be used for advertisement you're not getting paid for. So there's
I've seen a couple of artists reach out and say that some of these applications are also just stealing artwork from across the internet to really be able to generate some of these images.
Yeah, in a way
without any type of approval or consent from the artist that actually created the product. And so as they compile these images, they're really stealing, actually. But
I personally wouldn't necessarily consider it stealing. We have people that do caricature and that do art, anytime a fan draws Goku. You know what I'm saying? Still does exist. This is kind of similar. I think what a lot of artists have is that this is clicks and buttons. It doesn't, there is some talent to it as far as understanding the software, the AI, as far as understanding how to make it give you what you want. It's kind of like how someone can play the guitar. They can take a book, learn a few simple riffs, a few simple chords, but they don't necessarily know the guitar the way a person does that they figure out six ways to make the same sound, you know, but just slightly different, six different ways. Anyone can go on here and learn this like I have. This first time I ever did any of this stuff was yesterday, and already I'm, you know, there. So I do see there being some talent in this, but I 100% agree with artists that this is different, and I don't think, you know, you should necessarily be able to create an AI portrait and submit it and win an art prize. Not one that you're also going up against regular painters and sketchers and stuff, but that's a Tech Tuesday for you, Manny. Anything else you wanted to mention today, bud? I talked a lot. I'm sorry, guys.
Make sure to, honestly, just a quick tip. Keep track of your packages this holiday season. In some cases, you can even talk to your employer, and in most cases, they would be okay with them shipping your stuff to work. Yeah. And if not, have a Ring camera or have one of those lock boxes where Amazon can get into, or have them delivered to an Amazon location, because poach pirates are everywhere. And since we're talking about Tech Tuesday, that's just a quick thing, just a reminder, I know that we're all busy and we're doing a lot of online shopping. Just a couple simple things you can do to just protect yourself, because you know, you don't want people stealing your stuff. It's happening a lot. That's why
it is. It is. They're bold. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Check out other shows here on the channel. Anime Versal Reviews, AVR Square doing anime reactions, The Cantina for Star Wars, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem for Marvel, Daily Cog and Breaking Geek for everything else you can imagine in entertainment. And then, of course, Genre Shot Trailer Reactions, all of our reviews and podcasts. If it's not a reaction video, go up on all your favorite podcast apps, including now Amazon Music. And, of course, check out all the written articles and news, written reviews, celebrity interviews, and more at lrmonline.com. All right, we're out, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.